Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hi there. This is K-Town. And now for this paranormal news segment with Heidi Hollis.
Our paranormal story today comes from AtlasObscura.com. It is entitled "The Modern Resurrection of the Dybbuk, Demon of Jewish Folklore: How a Superstition Goes from the Talmud to TikTok." In 2003, a wine cabinet in Portland, Oregon somehow made headlines. The owner of the foot-and-a-half-tall wooden cabin bit of decor Kevin Manis had listed on eBay alongside of an elaborate story. He claimed that the cabinet had previously been owned by a Polish Holocaust survivor and was inhabited by a powerful demon known as a Dybbuk. "Since it came into his possession," he wrote, "his life had been shaken by paranormal occurrences, from disturbing nightmares to intense feelings of being watched by an evil presence." Ugh. The story of the Dybbuk, pronounced Dybbuk, is rooted in centuries-old Jewish folklore. However, this person who's writing says, "I am Jewish, and I don't remember my mother ever telling me and my sister stories about demons or phantoms, though I do recall some shades of mysticism from upbringing, such as leaving the door open for the spirit of Elijah on Passover and protecting our home from evil with a mezuzah." Anya Gruber, the author of this article, says, "When I first heard this Dybbuk story, I was intrigued by a corner of my own culture that I didn't know much about. What I found was a trove of fascinating, sometimes dark, folklore that had improbably found its way into the modern world." By 2012, Manis's so-called Dybbuk box gained so much notoriety that the Evil Dead filmmaker Sam Raimi produced a horror movie, The Possession, it was called, based on the story. Later, the cabinet itself was sold to Ghost Adventures host Zach Bagans to display in his haunted museum in Las Vegas. More recently, fans of the rapper Post Malone blamed an outbreak of bad luck, including an emergency landing of his private jet, on his interaction with a Dybbuk box. Not weird. I didn't hear about that one in the news. The Possession is not the first dramatized version of the Dybbuk incident. In 1920, folklorist Shalom Zanoh Rapoport, I think that's right, sure we'll go with that, writing under the name S. Anski, premiered his play The Dybbuk in Warsaw, Poland. It depicts the haunting of a young woman by the spirit of her deceased lover and has since become a canonical piece of Yiddish literature. The Dybbuk has since undergone dozens of iterations, including a 1937 film and a ballet created by Jerome Robbins and Leonard Bernstein. In 2021, Manis finally admitted that his haunted box was a straight-up hoax. Now, I didn't hear that. Wow, that's wild. Okay. He told a reporter from Input that he made the whole thing up as an interactive horror story in real time. Wow, he made a killing off from that. Around the same time, there was a wave of people, quote, exposing and, quote, debunking so-called debit boxes on TikTok and other social media sites. I wouldn't have dared. I would have left it alone. Skeptics dismissed the trend as trivializing Jewish tradition. Oh, I could see that. As Zoe Jacoby of Jewwitches wrote in a post blog, quote, "It takes almost no research into actual Jewish mythology and folklore to understand and learn that there is no historical basis for the existence of debit boxes, but rather a far more modern thirst for sensationalism. The origins of demons such as the Debek lie in the Talmud, a 1,500-year-old or so old text that is central to rabbinic Judaism and compiles a traditional guide for life, philosophy, history, folklore, and more. According to the folkloric portions of the Talmud, spirits are a constant presence in the human realm." Oh, don't I know that? "And they are a reminder to remind people to live virtuously. As educator and artist Debbie Lichtman points out, many of the stories that make up this Jewish folklore go back much further than the Talmud. A lot of these ideas in Jewish folklore tied directly back to stories that were being passed down for thousands of years," she says. "There are so many rich stories that are developed throughout the diaspora." Diaspora? Diaspora. There we go. "The Dybbuk is one of the menagerie of supernatural beings alongside Lilith the Golem and others who first appear in writing in the Talmud. Over time, many of these beings became closely associated with Kabbalah, a sect of mystical Judaism from medieval roots. Perhaps not surprisingly, a number of celebrities have been associated with the Kabbalah practice, including Ariana Grande, Ashton Kutcher, and most famously, Madonna." Yeah, I've heard of that one. "In the Talmud, evil spirits are generally referred to as Ruah Tezazit. The term Dybbuk is more recent creation, according to Yossi Chajas, director of the Center for the Study of Jewish Cultures and a professor at the University of Haifa. Dybbuk is Yiddish in origin. The proliferation of stories around it coincides with the 16th and 17th century rise of Jewish mysticism in Eastern Europe. The Dybbuk is the soul of someone who has died, and rather than moving on in the afterlife, that soul has lodged itself in the body of a living person," says Chazes, author of Between Worlds, Dybbuk's Exorcists and Early Modern Judaism. "It's a variation on the phenomenon of spirit possession, which exists in nearly every human culture we know of. Quote, in just about every case, the victim has done something to make them vulnerable," Chajas continues. "The Dybbuk doesn't usually inhabit an upstanding individual who is perfectly righteous." Well, of course not. Chazes notes that there is a gendered dynamic to these possessions as well. "The Dybbuk is typically male. The victim is female. If you feel like you've heard the general outlines of the story, know that Catholicism does not have a monopoly on exorcisms." Nope. "The only way to banish a Dybbuk is by undergoing an exorcism performed by a rabbi. Dybbuk stories generally have some kind of moral. The rabbis recorded the stories for a reason," says Chazes. "They exemplified an issue that they believed needed to be publicized in their communities. Written accounts of Dybbuk possessions vary, but are united by descriptions of the victim's suffering, as exemplified by case studies in Chazes' book. In a collection of writings meant to scare people into behaving properly, 16th century rabbi R. Judah Halawa described a young boy who began collapsing and uttering strange prophecies following a possession in what is now Safed, Israel. Typically, possession is a kidnapping or ransom phenomenon where the Dybbuk is able to threaten the life of its host, says Chazes. In exchange, the Dybbuk receives passage from the human world to a metaphysical one. In some cases, the rabbi successfully rids the victim of the spirit and allows the Dybbuk to move on to an afterlife despite the sins it had committed. There is, after all, no eternal damnation in Judaism. But quite a few of them end with the death of the victim and failure of the exorcist, says Chazes, in which case the moral of the story is still loud and clear. The Dybbuk has done something terribly wrong, and the victim has to pay the price. Ooh, yikes. Today, the Dybbuk is not necessarily a widely known supernatural figure like the demons of Catholic possessions, despite its deep historical roots. Quote, there are all these beings described in Talmud, and clearly not all of them are believed in and certainly not adhered to, says University of Connecticut anthropologist Richard Sosis. Violent persecution during witch trials, the Inquisition, and Eastern European pogroms, as well as the proliferation of anti-Semitic tropes in mainstream European folklore. Take, for example, the big-nosed, child-eating villain of Hansel and Gretel, and the rise of skepticism during the Enlightenment. All contributed to the suppression of these traditions. Indeed, for safety, many Jewish communities across the world kept their stories and customs secret. Lechman recounts a story from her own childhood growing up in Costa Rica, which she also wrote about in her book, The Witches of Ezucazu, and other Jewish fairy tales. She says that the ancestors of many of the Jewish people in her town migrated there during the Spanish Inquisition, even away from Spain. They had to keep their traditions hidden. Quote, the idea was that people would see Jewish women lighting the Shabbat candles through the window and think they were doing witchcraft. Oh, wow. Yeah. She says, and to this day, the city's nickname is the City of Witches. Oh, man. Many non-Jewish people have no idea where that comes from, but the Jewish community has passed this down. Even though the time of the Dybbuk has mostly ended, despite its social media and Hollywood resurrection, some superstitions remain. And supernatural forces are still felt in various Jewish communities. Some observant Jews in Israel continue to believe in a specific demon known as the Rosh Hashanah, and Sosis argues that this spirit has continued to persist because of its association with daily hand-washing rituals. Lechman says that part of her motivation for writing her book was to show the diversity of how Jewish people see themselves. Quote, the stories that were told about us for a very long time were pretty terrible, she says. So there's definitely power in having our own stories. Well, I will say bravo to that. Well, that's it for now. I'm Heidi Hollis. If you've experienced something scary or need some advice about it, reach out to me at mysteriousradio.com or HeidiHollis.com. And remember to keep checking under your bed so you won't forget to say your prayers at night.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.